I introduced the program, what it would be. It was a Monday evening. And Tony, I said, what you got for us? And he said, I'd like to do it by myself. I said, that's fine. Here's what happened. Tony Monti is at the piano, and he plays. And Tony Bennett sings, and this is what happened. I'll go my way by myself. This is the end of romance. Thank you! See, he heard the applause. He had heard it so much in his head in a live performance. Just there. Thank you! So I throw that thank you back to you, Charlotte, with a great deal of admiration for you. I think we're moving to John Burr.
Yes.
I do believe. John, where are you?
There he is.
Ready to go?
Yes, we are. Thank you so much for having us on today. Let me pass this to Stephen.
Now, a couple of other men who I don't know, why are they carried pistols?
Okay. Well, we have a concert stage coming up, actually, Jonathan, and we were grateful to have the opportunity to come on and talk about it a little bit.
Where is it?
It's at the Baha'i Center on 53 East 11th Street this coming Tuesday, 8 p.m.
Who's a Baha'i? Tierney Sutton.
I beg your pardon?
Tierney Sutton is a Baha'i.
Oh, is that right?
And Vic Damone is a Baha'i.
Is that right? Well, so is the curator of this series, Mike Longo, who played with Dizzy Gillespie, who was also a Baha'i. Right, exactly. So joining us today, we have four-fifths of the John Burr Quintet.
Uh-huh.
On the saxophone, we have a young man named Stephen Frieder.
Hi, Stephen.
Now, I know that we have a radio audience, so I'll have to say that this guy, he looks like a matinee idol. That's for the radio fans. If this was 1956, he would already be a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
On the piano, we have doctoral candidate and Latin music expert and my longtime ally, Mr. Mike Eckroth, on the piano.
Hey, Mike. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Happy to have you both.
I didn't hear you. And on the drums, we have, you've already heard him this afternoon playing with Surreal earlier. This is Mr. Alvester Garnett on the drums.
Hey, Al.
And we're going to play a mashup of a songbook song with an original that's derived from it. So
I didn't follow that.
Okay, well, the song itself is All the Things You Are, and then we're going to segue into an original composition based on All the Things You Are, which is entitled All the Things You Ate.
Are you going to sing the lyric? Is there a lyric to All the Things You Ate?
No, there is not.
Well, then how would we know it is a song called All the Things We Ate?
I think you're going to be able to tell.
Okay, well, I'll trust you on it.
Okay.
One, two, one, two.
Now, John, I was listening very closely. I didn't find anything that would lead me to all the things I ate. Perhaps you could fill me in.
Well, usually we don't play the All the Things You Are song first. So this was an opportunity to steal the song without having to pay for it, really.
I see.
It's a long-standing tradition in jazz.
Is it really? Well, I of course know that. But I was listening. I thought that I would hear. You told me I would. Well, I guess you're going to do it now.
No, we did them both already.
I see. Oh, well. Thank you. Thanks a lot, John.
Well, thank you.
Just a giant retail maze. 'Tis the season when you turn your thoughts to people you can't please. When you measure passing time in shopping days. And the holidays were something to get through. But the thing I hadn't counted on was you. Just in time for Christmas, you came along. Just in time for Christmas, when everything felt wrong, and I was sure my faith had all run out. Just in time for Christmas, you showed me what Christmas is about. Could not be bought at any price. I was far too disillusioned then to see. I was going through the motions, made a list and checked it twice, and forgot to write down anything for me. But my long unspoken wishes had occurred. Just in time for Christmas, one silent night. Just in time for Christmas, you filled my life with light. And there was joy where there had once been doubt. Just in time for Christmas, you showed me what Christmas is about. And all at once, the bells began to ring. And hark the herald, I heard angels sing. Who am I to resist their call? You brought me
everyone.
So claims Pizzarelli.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jonathan Schwartz.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Pizzarelli and Jessica Malasky. Now, before John, hold on a second or so, even more than a second maybe, I'd love to talk with Rick about a couple of things. One of them, and very importantly, it's gone unnoticed in some areas and some areas not, and certainly I've noticed it. There's just been a shambles at the New Republic. I know that Rick was there for years and as an editor, the editor.
Yes, twice.
Twice. Right. How does one do that twice?
Grover Cleveland did it. Uh-huh. And other New Republic editors have done it. I went back and forth. There was Michael Kinsley, then there was me, then there was Michael Kinsley, then there was me again. And Frank Foer, the one who just got defenestrated, that was his second term as editor of the New Republic, too.
You know, when I think of Kingsley, I think of this phrase. Let me think about it over the weekend. Do you know what that means?
That means no, I think, doesn't it, generally?
Well, it was uttered by Cy Newhouse.
Yes, he
offered the job of editor of The New Yorker to Kingsley in Seattle, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. We were he'd started Slate.
That's right. But as a result of that, we have gotten an amazing editor.
Yeah, so we got Remnick, so we lucked out on that one. Uh-huh. But we also lucked out because Kinsley has gone on to be as delightful a writer as ever. And when you said Kinsley, what Kinsley said, of course, the first thing I thought of was Kinsley's Law of Scandal. The scandal isn't what's illegal, the scandal is what's legal.
Well said, indeed. Why is it we lucked out? Why isn't it we lucked in? The phrase lucked.
Well, actually, good point. Yeah, they both seem to mean the same thing, don't they?
Yeah. But lucked out means, gee, we missed the boat.
Yeah.
But yet, still, yeah, you just said it yourself. We lucked out.
Mm-hmm. I guess it's sort of like, it's not like being locked out and locked in, but either way, you're locked.
Google it.
And the New Republic is well and truly locked right now.
Pizzarelli said Google it.
They canceled the next issue. Am I correct?
That's right. Yeah. It's all so unnecessary. I mean, if Chris Hughes had wanted to start a vertically integrated media company, go ahead, start a vertically integrated media company. Don't take the New Republic, hollow it out completely so that there's nothing left but the name, and then on the ashes build something that where you end up with another vertically integrated media company but no New Republic. How does that make sense?
Where does it stand today?
That's where it stands. Essentially the entire staff quit. And why? And what was the New Republic if not the people writing for it and thinking in it?
Well, what do they do now?
Well, they're a very talented bunch, but still, it's hard to get jobs in that field these days. So it was actually an act of tremendous courage and solidarity that they did all quit.
Well, and what now?
50 staff people at the New Republic quit. 50.
Well, there's still a staff to put out the magazine?
No, and that's why they've canceled the next issue, and the next issue will come out in February, at least so it is promised. And who knows, maybe someday there'll be something good under the name of the New Republic again, but this didn't have to happen. You know, the business model for a magazine like the New Republic has always been the same. Some slightly eccentric millionaire pays the losses. Mm-hmm. And that worked pretty well for 100 years. And it might have gone on for 100 years more, just with the billionaires instead of millionaires.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, it's very, as Durante would say, very discouraging.
It's sad. It's very, very sad. And a lot of people are feeling real grief over it.
I thought I'd ask you about it in view of your history. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
Now, to my right, Jessica stands. And to her right, John Pizzarelli stands. And if you saw them at the Carlisle, they opened the show with what they're going to do now, which epitomizes what they have been doing in that John is a citizen of jazz. Jessica was a theater girl, a dancer, an actress.
Oh, and I wouldn't go that far.
I would go far. I saw you in, what was it called at the very beginning?
The Ziegfeld Follies.
That's the one.
That's the one.
That
had a lot of work done.
Really?
Did I remember you dancing? In any event, what she did was to teach John about what she did and vice versa. And the result is the following.
It's the little things you do together that make perfect relationships. The hobbies you pursue together, savings you accrue together, looks you misconstrue together. that make marriage a joy. It's the little things you share together, swear together, wear together, that make perfect relationships. The concerts you enjoy together, neighbors you annoy together, children you destroy together,
that make marriage intact. It's not so hard to be married when to maneuver as one. It's not so hard to be married. In Jesus Christ, is it fun?
Sharing little winks together,
drinks together,
kinks together.
Shh.
What?
That make
marriage a joy. The bargains that you shop together,
cigarettes you stop together,
clothing that you swap together,
that make
perfect relationships.
It's not talk of God and the decade ahead that allows you to get through the worst. It's I do and you don't and nobody said that and who brought the subject up first.
It's the little things, the little things, the little ways you try together,
cry together, lie together,
that make perfect relationships. Becoming a cliche together,
growing old and gray together,
withering away together, that make marriage a joy. It's not so hard to be married,
it's much the simplest of crimes.
It's not so hard to be married,
I've done it 3 or 4 times.
Really?
We'll talk about it later.
It's the people that you hate together,
bait together,
date together, that make marriage a joy. It's things like using force together,
shouting to your horse together,
getting a divorce together, that make perfect relationships.
Kiss, kiss. Oh my goodness. Our apologies to Mr. Sondheim. That was, of course, Stephen Sondheim's song from Company. These are two Sondheim songs, one from Follies and another from A Little Night Music. The old deserted beach that we walked, remember? The cafe in the park where we talked, remember? The tenor on the boat that we chartered, belching the bartered bride. Oh, we laughed. Oh, we cried. Oh, how you promised, and oh, how I lied. That dilapidated inn, remember, darling? The proprietress's grin, also her glare. Yellow gingham on the bed, remember, darling? And the canopy in red, needing repair. I think you were there. The local village dance on the green, remember, remember. The lady with the large tambourine, remember. The one who played her harp in her boa thought she was so adept. Oh, how we laughed. Oh, how we wept. Oh, how we polka'd. And oh, how we slept. How we kissed and how we clung. Remember, darling? We were foolish, we were young, more than we knew. Yellow gingham on the bed, remember, darling? And the canopy in red, or was it blue? I'm sure it was you.
You take one road, you try one door, there isn't time for any more. One's life consists of either or. One has regrets, which one forgets, and as the years go on, the road you didn't take hardly comes to mind, does it? The door you didn't try, where could it have led? The choice you didn't make never was defined, was it? Dreams you didn't dare are dead. Were they ever there? Who said, I don't remember, I don't remember at all. The books I'll never read wouldn't change a thing, would they? The girls I'll never know, I'm too tired for. The lives I'll never lead couldn't make me sing, could they? Could they? Could they? Chances that you miss, ignore. Ignorance is bliss. What's more, you won't remember. You won't remember at all. Take your road, the decades fly, the yearnings fade, the longings die. You learn to bid them all goodbye, and oh, the peace, the blessed peace, at last you come to know. The roads you never take go through rocky ground, don't they? The choices that you make aren't all that grim. The worlds you never see still will be around, won't they? The man I'll never be, who remembers him.
John, hold it just a second, because by the way, just to the audience, aren't you privileged to be here for this? I feel that myself.
Can I tell a story about the song that John just sang?
Absolutely, that's what
this
I was heading to.
This is a story that it doesn't really work on the radio, but it's a good story anyway. The Road You Didn't Take is from Follies, and in the original production, it was sung by John McMartin, who played Ben. And years ago, when I was a kid, I was talking to Dorothy Collins, who was in the show and played Sally, not long after the show had closed. And I was talking about how brilliant I thought that song was. It's an extraordinary song. And she said, you know, John would never get applause. He would finish the song every night, and he would come off stage, and he wouldn't get applause. And I had an entrance right after he came off, so I was always in the wings, and he goes past me. And at one performance, he finished the song, and as he started off, the audience began to applaud, and he got a hand on the number. And as he passed me, I said to him, John, listen, isn't that amazing? You're getting a hand. And he said, that's not a hand. That's the sound of 1,100 people going. That was me slapping my forehead.
That is a wonderful story. okay, Jessica and John.
Thank you for that opportunity.
Oh, yeah,
you
know,
it's good. Shtick on the radio.
Yeah, shtick on the
really
radio.
Really good.
Yeah, physical comedy.
You want to set this up at all?
Oh, yeah, I'll set it up. Wait a second. Just so you know, this is the sound of, no. This is a song that we've been doing these vocalese numbers for a number of years now. And I guess the foundation for what we were doing was started by Lambert Hendricks and Ross. Yes, Lambert Hendricks and Ross. And for us, I guess most notably Annie Ross, who my dad and I made a record with earlier this year and continues to work here in New York at the Metropolitan Room on
That's
Tuesday
Bucky
nights.
That's Bucky Pizzarelli, by
Bucky
the way.
Pizzarelli is my father, and who art in New Jersey. Hallowed be his guitar playing. And so, like you would know Twisted, my analyst told me, that was around my head. That's Annie Ross's bit on, and she wrote a lyric actually to a Wardell Gray saxophone solo, and that's where that all came from. And so we started to find jazz songs, and I would find the jazz songs, and she would do all the hard work, like writing the lyrics to them. The brains of the operation. And so this particular song is two songs in particular, a vocally song actually written by James Taylor called Traffic Jam. And then inside of it is a piece called The Kicker by a jazz saxophone player named Joe Henderson from a record made by Horace Silver called Song for My Father. And I said to Jessica, I need a lyric that ties all these things together. And so you take it from there.
Okay. So I thought, traffic jam, that's about being stuck. And I thought, when have I been stuck? And I realized I had been engaged to be married to a wonderful person in my early 20s. And then I woke up in my early 30s and realized I was still engaged to be married to that person. And so I said, maybe it's time for us to get married. Dear, what do you think? And he cleared his throat. And so this was a song I wrote about that moment. He who hesitates is lost.
Now. Damn this traffic jam. How I hate to be late. Hurts my motor to go so slow. Time I get home, my supper be cold. Damn this traffic jam. I've heard so very many people say, don't you let the time slip away. If you gotta beg or borrow, don't put off until tomorrow all the things that you can do today. I waited, hesitated, just to pop the question, suggestion. Well, if you think that you found your girl, better grab her, better nab her. Cause every coming day when she'll up and fly away somewhere better, make at her. I woke up when she spoke up, said to bring a ring for her finger. She said to bring it ASAP, yes, history, she's a mystery. I hop into my car and I'm on the FDR, out of luck now, I'm stuck now. Damn this traffic. Traffic jam.
He was not the type of man with any sort of a real conviction.
Just the sort of lover who would take cover in an instant. When I'm telling you, I'm stuck.
Damn this traffic. Damn this traffic jam.
Wish I could have told her that I really couldn't hold her for the fear that I would suffer.
From benediction.
Please.
Someone way up there say a prayer
for an old and lonely sinner.
Oh, I've been there, done that. Every old thing known to man that I think I want to expand.
I know when I'm with her that I can, but now
I'm sitting here like Saturn Man. I mean, there's like no exit. Like that guy in Godot, all this waiting is oh so familiar to Sam, he will beck it.
I could take a turn toward the river and turn my Toyota and possibly wreck it. And so, so long my love, I'll see you better luck next time.
Damn this traffic, damn this traffic. Until they come back and haunt you. Damn this traffic. Damn this traffic jam. Where do you go? This traffic jam. This traffic jam. Traffic jam, how I hate to be late. Hurts my motor to go so slow. Time I get home, my supper be cold. Damn, this traffic jam. Now I almost had a heart attack. Looking in my rearview mirror, saw myself the next car back.
Looking in his rearview mirror, saw himself the next car back. About to have a heart attack. About to have a heart attack. About to have a heart attack.
I've heard so very many people say, don't you let the time slip away. If you got a bigger bar, don't put off until tomorrow. All the things you can do today. Damn!
That's it.
Yeah, you heard what I was talking about, how Jesse, who had basically, you know, she was in Cats, for example. But she learned how to do that. And John learned Sondheim. And that's the luckiest thing possible for all of us, because it creates a performance of real depth and wit and melancholy as well, if you throw Sondheim into the honeysuckle mix. Before he goes, I want to speak briefly with John Weidman, who's a wonderful and old friend of mine. First of all, Jesse.
Yes.
Remember I was trying to think of the name of the play, of the musical, Sondheim, that I saw you dance in so effectively? Well, it was Wise Guys.
Wise Guys. Yes.
Show that went on to be called?
Roadshow.
Roadshow. And Bounce.
It was also Gold.
And Gold. I have it.
I'm going to sit here quietly till you're finished.
And then they decided at the last minute to call it Silver. And
tell
then,
me when you're done.
And then John had the idea of simply calling it My Fair Lady.
I remember that workshop.
So very well.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, John.
Came close to killing me.
It was a wonderful show. There were some wonderful things in it.
We had Steve and I had a genuinely stupid idea, which at the time seemed really inspired. When you work on a show, you reach a point where you want to do a workshop and put it on its feet, and you invite your friends in, and they tell you what they think. And we thought, well, why don't we, instead of just having our friends come in, which is helpful, but maybe only up to a point, why don't we do the workshop in front of strangers, in other words, an actual audience? And the New York Theater Workshop thought that was a good idea, but... You know, the show was sort of half written. It really wasn't ready. Sam Mendes, who was directing it, was just coming off American Beauty, which he had just finished directing. And it really was kind of a difficult experience.
Well, and he was becoming this huge star overnight. So the few people that were there were, you know.
He's talking about Sam, not me.
Movie stars, yeah. And, you know, the Pope came. And, yeah, it was one of those amazing things.
Yeah, it was rough. But it's true. We all got
through it. There's some beautiful songs from it. There's that great song called Little House for Mama that never made it anywhere.
No, which got cut.
And Isn't He Something, I think, is one of the more beautiful songs that Stephen wrote.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, much of what was in the score then is still in the score of Roadshow. But it was a real work in progress. And, it was difficult to make progress. And I don't think anybody would ever decide to do it that way again.
Stephen Sondheim said the worst word in the English language is workshop.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what Oscar Hammerstein said? That the saddest word in the English language is but.
B-U-T.
B-U-T.
Yes.
Yeah.
Drop the second T and you've got it. Weidman.
Sir.
I tried to get you on the phone for a little while and found that you were in Buenos Aires.
I was last year, yes.
To what end?
Funny you should ask. I was actually workshopping a new musical. This is the definition of out of town. It was a new show. It was largely a dance piece. It was directed by Sergio Trujillo, who works on Broadway, but the composer was a guy named Gustavo Santaolalla, who's won a couple of Oscars, but who also fronts his own band called Baja Fondo. The choreographer was also Argentine. The entire cast was. So we workshopped it there a couple of times and then rehearsed it there and then finally did it in Toronto. Toronto? Toronto. last spring. So, that's where I was as opposed to sitting here on the stage.
Well, you wrote the libretto?
Yeah, it was like storyboarding because it was almost no language, and it was like storyboarding it, and then I went back when we were in rehearsal or in the workshop and wrote full scenes in English, which were translated into Spanish, which then went to the choreographer and the director, who used them as tools in order to create the events that needed to be delivered in the scene. It was a fascinating experience. Being in Buenos Aires made it a lot of fun.
You don't speak French or Spanish or Portuguese.
I was the only person who, involved with the production, spoke no Spanish. People in production meetings, everybody would start out politely speaking English so that I would know what was going on. And then as they became excited, the English would fall away and I would look at my telephone until the meeting was over and then somebody would tell me what had happened. It was frustrating. I did buy Rosetta Stone, but I never took the shrink wrap off, so it's no help.
Well, he's back and in good health, and I'm Jonathan Schwartz, and we'll have a little break and then come back. We have, Ann Hampton Callaway coming up. We have Tom Wopat coming up.
Gabrielle Stravelli.
And Gabrielle Stravelli.